stories of the enterprising Trekkies, whose lifelong mission is to live and dress as citizens of the future. From Earth and all parts of the universe, finding strange new worlds deep inside the mind. Trekkies, who go boldly where no one would even think of going. Way, way out there! Way out there! In outer space! We're trekking out. A wild place. Paris to Polaris.
I'm in Polaris.
Rimini to Regulus.
I'm in Rimini.
Juno to Cairo.
Meet me, Cairo.
Warp 7 from Tokyo! Let them say we're different. Let them say we're strange. The bond we have is solid. The bond we have will never change. Infinite diversity. Infinite combinations. The prime directive, a solid foundation. Get off track, you're an animal.
Hey freaks, it's Monday, February 20th, 2017. Coming up on the program today, I introduce you to the offensive version of Tim Henson. A fat near-dead became one with her sofa, ripping out your sex partner's intestines, and more Duggar family abuse. Oh, goody, goody. All this, put your voicemails today.
It's the Distorted View Show with Tim Henson.
The guy, he's in the dirty underwear or something. I don't know. He's sniffery.
All right. Hey, freaks. Tim Henson back here with you, kicking off a new week of programs. After a week of best of shows, I was on vacation. So glad to be back now. You may detect a slight phlegminess to my voice. That's because, yes, I am fucking sick again. I got everyone that was on this vacation, there were four of us, all got sick, like, the last day. You can't blame this one on my AIDS-y immune system because everyone got sick, right? I had a great time. You know, I'm sure there's a lot to talk about on my fun trip, and I'll bring it up over the next week or so as I think about it. But there's just so much to get into that I want to talk about that is not vacation-related. Although, let me just tell you this about Disney real quick. This was my first time really going to Disney, seeing the Disney World parks and everything. And it was fun, right? I had a great time, great vacation. Now, if I would have went 25 years ago, or even 30 years ago, I guess, my mind would have been blown, right? There's just so much going on and so much to do for a little kid. It really is the happiest place on earth. For an adult, though, it's kind of annoying. It's one of the most frustrating places on Earth, mainly because of other people. It's like, why would you stop and stand in the middle of a walkway? Move to the side! Why do you stand in a doorway? Everything is crowded at Disney. And, you know, the only thing there, aside from the attractions, are stores, right? So it's like, You'll see Space Mountain or something, and then surrounded by Space Mountain are like four Disney stores that all have the same shit in them, right? I mean, this obviously is how they're making their money, the gift shops and stuff, and they're just filled with stuff. And occasionally, you'll go into one gift shop and you'll see something that other gift shops don't have, and you feel like you found something special, so you immediately want to purchase that. That's how they get you, fucking Disney. Lord Douche, bless his heart, really wanted to give me the first-timer Disney experience. So I thank him for that, but Jesus fucking Christ, I was like his four-year-old son. He was my papa on this trip. My daddy. My sweet daddy. And I let him do whatever he wanted, because I'm so horny.
You could be my sweet daddy bear.
Oh, I'm your grandpa bear. You've got a daddy.
Oh, not a daddy. A sweet daddy, and I'll be your little honey, and you could do whatever you want, because I'm so hot.
Stop it!
It's a small world.
that song.
That's like serial killer murder spree music.
So, what was I saying? Oh, yes, Lord Douche really tried to get me in the spirit. I had to wear a button that was about the size of Flava Flav's clock. It read, I'm a Disney virgin. If you're 7 feet tall and furry, come to flower me. I guess it encourages the mascots walking around the park to seek me out. They see the button, right? Because it's my first time, right? And he also got me a goofy hat, you know, the one with like the buck, you know, the teeth on the rim and the floppy ears, and he made me wear that every day. And, you know, if you've been to Disney in the last few years, or maybe really any amusement park, they sell these things that are very popular with about 5-year-old girls. They are these wands, like fairy wands almost, and they're plastic, and they shoot out bubbles. You know, they're bubble blowers, but Lord Douche was very insistent that I get one and carry it around blowing bubbles throughout the park, so I really looked like a creeper, I must say. Here's this 30-something-year-old guy. I probably look much older with my gray hair, wearing a goofy hat, skipping around with a bubble blower. A Little Mermaid bubble blower, mind you.
Suck on that D! Suck on that D! It's always better when you get it wetter, slurping that big D! Down on all fours, now that's a good lay between your tight buns. It's nice that way to get it going. You start with a hey J and then you suck the D.
You know, the bubble blower does play under the sea when you turn it on. I wonder if I can hack it and load my version onto it. That would make me want to go back to Disney World right now, just so I could walk through the park playing Suck on My D, blowing bubbles in little kids' faces. The other thing about Disney World, real quick, and then we'll move on, I promise, is that it's cool, don't get me wrong, but I feel like a lot of it is pretty dated. Like, it's kind of stuck in the 70s, especially like the Magic Kingdom. Update that fucking shit. You're like a $100 trillion company. 50% of your rides are the same. It's like that slow, meandering journey through animatronics or video. It's like, it's a small world. It's the same thing as Journey into the Imagination. It's the same thing as History of Movies or whatever that ride was. It all seems like the same track, the same stuff. And here's the thing, you know, this is for little kids. You gotta up your game, Disney. Again, we're in 2017. These kids need to be blown away. They have iPads and virtual reality and augmented reality. I expect to see fucking holograms and lasers. Goddamn big budget effects. It was a fun time, though. All right, let's move on. So I get home and I DVR'd a bunch of stuff. One of the shows I watch is Real Time with Bill Maher. And throughout the week, occasionally I'd check the news, and apparently there was a huge uproar because one of his guests this past week was going to be Milo Yiannopoulos, you know, that alt-right guy who, like, tries to go on college campuses to speak, and then there's, like, protests and riots and shit. I don't know a lot about this guy, but I watched just the one-on-one interview on Real Time, and I'm like, you know what? I kind of like this guy. First of all, I don't understand why liberals are so afraid of him. They're angry with him and afraid to hear him speak. He's a faggot. He's a British-sounding Greek pearl. He was wearing pearls, a pearl necklace on Real Time. Like, why? First of all, why are conservatives so eager to defend this guy when his lifestyle is fucking appalling to them? You know, like, this Milo guy says all the right things, but he doesn't walk the walk. He's super gay. The alt-right, whatever the hell that is, holds him up as some sort of hero. Meanwhile, I think he's like half Jewish or his mom is Jewish. He loves black guys, right? So he doesn't really put his money where his mouth is. Primarily because his mouth is wrapped around big, fat, uncut Muslim dick. Yeah, he's also had black Muslim boyfriends. Like, conservatives should not like him. And, but, you know, I did kind of like him, even though I'm not supposed to. Because he says horrible things, but he's kind of funny about it, and it's like, I don't really take anything he says seriously. I mean, he very well could be a monster and believes all the shit he's spewing, but he's
just kind of a troll, and it doesn't really matter what he thinks. It's like me, I say all sorts of horrible stuff. Half the stuff I don't believe myself, and the other half, maybe I do believe, but if you disagree with me, who cares? I'm just some moron from Ohio. Some D-list podcaster. And the other, the final point I'll make is that, you know, the only people who would attend a Milo Yiannopoulos speech are, like, people who already know him and agree with him. He's not converting a lot of people. However, when there's, like, protests and riots and the news covers them, that's how he gets new followers. Because they're fucking rednecks at home. What? Like, who is this faggot? He's surely riling up the liberals. He can't be all that bad. And then they start listening to him. They're like, yeah, I hate trannies and Jews, too. I'm going to go to his next speech. Finally found a pole smoker I can get behind. Not literally. I will not literally get behind him. Gotta protect my sweet, straight, virgin asshole. So after I watched that Bill Maher clip, when I decided, oh, maybe I'll mention him on the podcast. But then there was, like, breaking news about Milo just the other day. And the news is, like, Milo condones pedophilia in some clip that aired on the internet. I was on the Joe Rogan podcast. There were a few sources that I saw, different videos or whatever, where he was basically talking about some priest. He sucked some priest's cock or something when he was a kid. And Milo was like, yeah, I mean, you know, it made me a good dick sucker. He, you know, this was a good training experience for me or something, right? And so now there are people like, now even some of, like, the conservative people are kind of boycotting Milo and not letting him speak at different conferences or stuff. And it just made me think, you know, this guy, Milo, says whatever's the most outrageous, controversial stance on a topic. And that's how he gets all the publicity. What do you think of Michelle Obama? Oh, she's a monkey tranny. But he says it in a British accent, right? What do you think of the disastrous administration that is Donald Trump's presidency? Oh, it's going great. I love Donald Trump. He's fabulous. Who in their right mind thinks Donald Trump is fabulous? What gay guy thinks Donald Trump is fabulous, right? It's just the craziest stance possible. This guy, though, Milo, has millions of followers now. Got a six-figure book deal. That should be my book deal. I say all sorts of crazy stuff. I'm totally stealing Milo's act. It's rightfully mine anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Timo Hensopoulos. I'm half Greek, half British, and all homo. Give me a topic and I'll give you an opinion. Rape? It's actually a useful tool. You got these loose whores on campus flashing their tits and gine around. They get raped, all of a sudden, sex isn't so fun, right? They're a little more protective with their bodies. They'll be a little more selective, slow them down a bit. Also, STD rates will drop because these girls won't be banging every cute guy they find on the quad, and it'll finally put to rest this dumb notion that women are equal to men. There are some things we're just better at. Forcing you to have sex is one of them. Sorry, you just don't have the upper body strength to restrain us, girls. Don't feel bad, you can still bake a mean pie. This has been The Final Solution with Timo Hensopoulos. Ting! Next topic, feminism. The problem with feminists is getting guys to hop on board with your cause. First of all, your cause directly negatively impacts a guy's life. You want to be hired into better positions? You know who you're going to take those away from? Guys! These jobs have to come from somewhere, and they're the jobs that the white guys have. You also demand equal pay. You say you get 70 cents for every dollar a man receives. Here's the problem with that. If there were some sort of law in place guaranteeing equal pay for equal work, don't you think the businesses, instead of raising your pay to match the men, they would rather lower the man's pay to match yours? It would cost them less money, and that's what they want. Once again, hurting men. Also, you feminists have a real PR problem, and that PR is your faces. They're hard to look at. Harsh, I think is the word. You have harsh faces. Harsh, manly, large, non-attractive faces. And you should know, men really respond to a pretty face. Why not get your best, prettiest feminists out there?
as opposed to the goddamn land walruses that you insist on putting in front of the cameras. You know, the ones who don't wear makeup or put in any effort to look nice and just screech like velociraptors. That's all I hear. Screeching with a fucking perma-frown on your face. You ever see those women? Even when they smile, they look like they're frowning. They've got resting scowl. It's very off-putting to the people that matter. Men. This has been The Final Solution with Timo Hentzopoulos. Ding. Next topic, pedophilia. I don't see a problem with that. It's like having a sexual mentor. Let's be honest, those of you who weren't molested, the first time you had sex, you had no idea what you were doing, right? The same cannot be said for those who have been raped. You know exactly what goes in what hole, you know not to use your teeth when you're giving BJs, and you've already worked with a full-size dick, so having sex with someone your own age should be no big deal. No surprises! The pedophile simply prepared your body for normal routine use. It was a romance stress test, if you will. When you actually have consensual sex with someone under the age of 45, you'll know what to expect, you'll be confident, and you'll come off to your partner looking like a pro. These pedophiles shouldn't be vilified, shouldn't be shunned. They should be encouraged and commended for taking a child under their wing, or bat wings if it's a particularly humid day. The point I'm trying to make is, think of getting molested as an apprenticeship. At a very young age, you're being taught a skill you will use for the rest of your life. If you were sexually abused as a child, you are one lucky devil. This has been The Final Solution with Timo Hentzopoulos. A-ting! All right, and with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, fucked up news right now. I've been away a while. You may have forgotten that we have a member site over there at superfreaksideshow.com. Sign up and get full access to the entire archive of shows. I've been at Distorted View now since 2004. So there are thousands of shows in the archive. Plus, every week we do bonus material that only Sideshow members get in the form of full-length episodes of DV, mini-programs, video casts, and more. Even though I was away on vacation last week, I did a full-length episode just for Sideshow members, and a mini-program that was supposed to be posted on Thursday, but it was actually posted on the weekend, which I apologize for. It was very hard to post while I was on vacation, so I apologize for that. But all of the best of shows and the exclusive content was posted, a couple of them posted when I got back into town. But yeah, check it out, superfreaksideshow.com. Membership's very inexpensive, only $6.99 a month, even less when you opt for a quarterly, semi-annual, yearly, or lifetime membership. This is how I make my living, so if you like DV, please consider supporting it that way. Okay, three quick stories, then we'll get the hell out of here. First up, this one was posted on our subreddit over there at distortedview.reddit.com, and there was a note saying, you need to show this to Timmy after he comes back from the holidays. And it is a great story because it involves one of my favorite subjects, the Duggar family. Remember that TLC show, 19 Kids and Counting, and then, you know, bitch kept having miscarriages but kept trying to have kids. She's like 50 at this point. She's like, God just wants us to have more babies. No. God doesn't. God wants you to give your pussy a rest. He rested after 6 days. You can give your snatch a rest after 19 children. And let's be honest, as we're finding out, not all of your children are pristine gems. There's a few shit turds mixed into the litter there. All right, so now Amy Duggar, who I guess is not one of the children of the Duggars, but is a cousin? Maybe, oh, a niece. Amy Duggar is the niece of Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar. Now, I haven't watched 19 Kids and Counting ever, so I guess maybe Amy has made a few appearances on the show. Amy alleges in a new teaser that her father physically abused her growing up. Quote, my dad was like, Amy, did you brush your teeth? But probably with like a southern accent to it. Amy, did you brush your teeth? And I was like, yeah, daddy. And he was like, no, you didn't. And he picked me up by my throat all the way up to the ceiling. He was like, you will brush your teeth, Duggar said in the clip obtained by People magazine. And I was scared shitless. Oh, Amy, we don't use that language. You gonna get a whipping.
That's how it works in the Duggar family. I'm pretty sure, like, Jim Bob, the father on 19 Kids and Counting, has said, or maybe some of the kids have said, like, yeah, if we were bad, we'd get hit with the belt, or something like that, right? Like, it's just how it works in that family and their fucked up crazy religion.
We're Quiverfuls, and we believe in the three B's: breeding, beating, and believing. You breed until your pussy gives out, you beat them until they respect you, and you try your hardest to believe that having nearly two dozen children is normal. That's what it means to be a Quiverful.
All right, back to the story here. Duggar is the niece of 19 Kids and Counting stars Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar. It's the first time she has identified her alleged abuser. Duggar and her husband, Dylan King, decided they needed counseling after 7 months of marriage. It's probably because they're not following the three B's. You should be heavily focused on breeding right now. You're 7 months married, you should already have five kids. I don't know how that would work, but I know that at this point, in Jim Bob and Michelle's marriage, they already had a minivan full of children. She'd squirt them out as she was walking to check the mailbox. All of a sudden, plop, plop, two more kids came out. All right, where are we at here? Amy Duggar told Fox News earlier this month that she is grateful for the opportunity to appear on Marriage Boot Camp. What a privilege. However, I didn't even know this was a reality show. I think it's on VH1, right? Prestigious. However, she wishes that she could have dealt with the alleged abuse behind closed doors. Quote, "It's not that I regret saying his name. Well, I regret talking about it on camera, but it's something that just literally blew out of my mouth. And the doctors could tell that I was bothered by something," she said. Oh, that family has so many secrets. I will make it my mission to expose them all! Fuck you, Duggars! I will destroy you! Each and every one of you! Alright, second story we have for you today. Well, this is an interesting headline. Woman makes love with ex-husband for 4 hours. You'd assume they would be getting back together, right? This was like forgiving sex. Or it was like, you know, I can't find anyone to bang, and you're nearby, and I know your dick. It ain't strange peen. You know, it's comfortable cock. I just need a wiener to snuggle with. Like, that type of sex. Regardless, 4 hours means, you know, the guy's doing something right. You're having a good time. Maybe not, though, because the second part of this headline, there's a comma after the 4 hours, comma, then rips out his intestines. Have you guys ever been having sex with someone new? I guess it doesn't have to be someone new. It can be someone you've been having sex with for a while. And you think you're doing a really good job. You're pretty impressed with your performance. And then you do something that just ruins the mood. Maybe you roll over onto her hair or something and you're like, you yank it. Or, you know, you're on top of her and then you like put all your weight down on your arm and it like pinches part of her skin or something. She's like, ah! You're gonna leave a brew! You know, it just ruins them. I think maybe that's what happened here. Everything was going great for like 3 hours and 55 minutes. And then, I don't know, maybe he was on top of her, licking her pussy. Maybe his balls were in her face and then he farted or something. And she's like, what? What are you doing? Ah! And then she just snapped, right? To get back at her ex-husband, a woman had 4 hours of marathon sex with him. And it ended by ripping out his intestines and throwing it on the carpet floor. And we all know how hard intestinal stains are to get out of the carpet. That was like one final fuck you to the guy. Good luck using Resolve to get that stain out. You're going to have to get all new carpeting. All right. Dahlia Saeed, 35, is accused of stabbing Bilal Mahi, 31, her ex-husband, with a carving knife in an attempt to kill him, as she did not want him to win the custody of their daughter. The couple divorced in the year 2013 after 2 years of an alleged abusive relationship. It's unclear who was abusive, though. I mean, this woman has no problem ripping out innards. Fearing that the man would get custody of the child and would take him back to Pakistan, Saeed initiated a sexual intercourse between the two. What a weird way of putting that. I am going to initiate sexual intercourse.
When Mai tried to flee, Saeed chased him into the street where she attacked him with a wooden bat and a meat cleaver. Should have led with the meat cleaver. That's more of a weapon. Police found part of his small bowels lying on her bedroom floor. That's kind of an insult. He had very small bowels. Kind of an attack on his manhood, almost. No, I guess that's like his small intestine, right? His small bowels. All right, so yeah, they found part of his small bowels lying on her bedroom floor while he was cowering in the porch of a neighboring flat with his intestines hanging out and 30 different wounds. Informing Birmingham Crown Court, I guess this happened over there in the UK, the man said suddenly, oh, he's still alive? Suddenly, in the blink of an eye, and I didn't see the knife, she stabbed me twice in the belly. I can only assume the knife came from either under the bed or the pocket of her dressing gown. My intestines were out. Everything was out. And she was grabbing a hold of them. See, this is why she was smart throwing the intestines onto the carpet. Because now that he lived, he's going to have to deal with those stains. So she got the final laugh after all. Ha ha! Back to this guy's quote. She broke one of them. I think he's talking about his intestines. She broke one of them and threw it onto the floor, but I managed to put the rest of them back in my belly. After several operations and days in the hospital, the man recovered from his injury. Saeed, however, is fighting her trials on the basis of marital rape and child custody. The couple got divorced in 2013, and the trial is still continuing now. So there you go. And finally today, freaks, residents in an Ohio neighborhood had no idea one of their neighbors was living in squalor. This is not a story about me. Until emergency vehicles lit up their typically quiet street. The smell of human excrement reached the sidewalk as emergency responders worked to remove a 550-pound, again, this is not about me, elderly woman from her living room chair Thursday evening. She was actually molded to the chair. Now, I don't know what that means, because we've read stories in the past where people have been fused to their chair, like their skin has become entwined with the fabric. They became fused together. But the word molded, to me, means that there was mold, right? Like her fucking ass was getting moldy, and the chair was moldy, and the mold just sort of grew together. Unless they're saying mold, like you would mold clay. Like her fat thigh molded to the chair. The shape of the chair? I don't know. Let's read on. So yes, they responded. They removed a 550-pound elderly woman from her living room chair Thursday evening. Barbara Foster, 75, had been sitting in the same place since July. Long enough. Yeah, I'm guessing that it fused. Long enough for her body to weaken. Like, her skin must have almost been liquid at that point. Long enough for her body to weaken and her skin to mold to the chair's shape. Oh, yeah. Crews required protective suits because of the home's unsanitary conditions, according to Assistant Fire Chief Rick Helminski. I was also advised that Barbara was so physically weak, she was still alive, that bones in her body were breaking when EMS was attempting to carry her out of the house. Maybe they should have just let her finish fusing with the chair. I mean, her bones were basically dust at that point, right? They were just crumbling. This sounds like the start of a superhero. You know, she fused to a chair. She has no bones. She's kind of like Wolverine. But instead of, like, having bones reconstructed in adamantium, she's like part lazy boy. All right. Foster was taken to the University of Toledo Medical Center. A hospital spokesman on Friday said no information was available for a patient by that name. A bright orange sign posted in Foster's front window declared the home unfit for habitation Friday after Toledo Lucas County Health Department officials assessed the dwelling. Caution tape surrounded the property and surgical-type face masks were discarded on the front of the lawn. Sheriff's investigators believe Foster moved to the area from Arizona and had taught at Toledo Public Schools. They're not aware of any living relatives in the region. One neighbor, Robbie Zolchek, said he believes Foster has lived next door to him since he and his wife bought the home 10 years ago. He said he used to smile and wave to her, but never spoke to her. In 10 years, you never spoke to her and you live next door? Bad neighbors. It's been years since I've physically seen her, Zolchek said. that's because she couldn't walk through the door with a goddamn couch stuck to her ass. It's funny, they interview all sorts of other neighbors like Honey Malik, Bill and Honey. They lived nearby in 1995 on the block, and they said they didn't even know her name until this week. People just came out of their house because they saw the commotion going on. Detectives are reviewing the case for any potential crime. Foster was nearly $1,400 behind on her property taxes. She missed her first payment, $687, in July, about the same time she became confined to her chair. So she couldn't get to the mailbox. You can't blame her for that. Kind of makes sense. Well, you know, why the payments didn't go through. All right, there you go. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Monday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right, you'll have to bear with me with these voicemail calls. We're backed up now on the Patreon line as well as the regular line. So I'm not going to play all the Patreon calls. I'll play a couple of them today and a couple of them tomorrow, and then we'll play regular calls too.
Tim, you stupid faggot son of a bitch. It's not Alien Ant Farm's song. It's Michael Jackson, you cock-sucking nigger faggot.
Oh, see, I'm sorry. Sometimes I forget that I have to spell every fucking thing out. Yeah, we all know Smooth Criminal was a Michael Jackson song, but the song I was talking about, the version, and the version I played was from Alien Ant Farm, okay? God damn it. You guys just desperately, you have this need to prove me wrong about everything, and I'm just not wrong that much. I'm, you know, just deal with it. Good Christ.
Hey, Timmy Boo, this is old school radio broadcaster Samsonite Bicep. Everybody is talking about vitamin B12. It keeps you from dying. In the news,
are you related to Paul Harvey? Yes.
In the news, B12. Four dogs raped a woman to death. Not, and this is Patreon supporter and sideshow member Profinocial. Just wanted to say that the show has been very, very, very good.
Oh, thank you very much for that. That was nice. Next up, y'all.
Hey, Tim. Critical Madness. Hope it's okay. I don't think I've called in February yet. But I hope it's not too often and everything is okay. I mean, I don't want to upset anyone. Listen to the best of show, and you had the Indian guy on the line with the computer and all that. By the way, it's some of the funniest shit you do. It's good stuff.
Thank you.
You really should do that more. But regardless, you missed your chance, dude. You know, for years, the question has plagued TV listeners, what does Jagu mean? And you had the perfect opportunity right there. So, anyway, I got your back, brother. I happen to have a friend. Once upon a time, I was in the fire department for about 2 decades, and one of the new guys when I was leaving happens to be Indian, and I said, fuck, I just need to call him and ask him, so I did, and he said that he's pretty sure, I mean, he knows, he speaks Hindi quite well. I couldn't find one of the videos that we've used. I even asked you on Facebook, and you never answered me, fuck you, but he said that Jagu essentially means to get hyped up, to get pumped up, to get excited, to get psyched.
That actually kind of works when you say Jagu. Get hyped up for TV.
Before people get married, they'll have a Jagu party. And it's just a party to get everybody excited and hyped up about the wedding.
Because, that should be our political party. We're the Jagu party.
You know, it's arranged marriage. It's a planned out wedding. The bride's never met the husband, so... You know, they all know that there's actually a pretty good chance they're going to find her hanging in a closet in 6 months because, you know, the guy's abusive and she hates him. But, yeah, Jagu basically means to get excited, get hyped up, get stoked. So, thought I'd help you out there, man. I know that's
why there are so many songs with the word Jagu in it. Makes sense. All right, well, thank you very much for the information.
You wear a disguise to look like human guys, but you're not a man, you're a Timmy Boo. Hey, Tim.
Hi.
Ridiculously long time listener. I've been a freeloader since, 2008, and...
I think it's time to man up and become a sideshow member.
I'm calling for the first time because... Fuck you. I mean, oh my God, I've had a fantastic, you know, you're a frequent moment.
Okay.
December 22nd show, your I Hate You Daddy porn clip you played, and you're going on about, oh, who the hell would like this, and I gotta well, say, you. That was fucked up what it did to my brain.
Huh.
So, thanks, Tim. You're a bastard.
I'll have to find some more of that porn for you.
Hey, Tim. DaggerCon here. Happy New Year! So,
Happy New
I Year. Work a job at a movie theater that caters almost exclusively to the elderly.
Ugh. I'll
pour myself a drink right now because I'm going to get shit-faced.
Like, do you play a lot of classic movies?
And
Talkies.
So, like, you know how all of them are. They're all like, oh, the movie is too loud. When I can barely understand what you're saying to their fucking face. Or, like, they're complaining about the prices, like, that is...
You should do a Buster Keaton double feature one day!
Isn't something everyone knows is way too expensive at movie theaters? Now, I'm not a racist, but despite that, the absolute worst people to have at movie theaters are always the black people.
I'm not racist, but blacks are the worst. Oh.
They bring in snacks, they bring in their own food, but they also buy, like, $20 worth of
Well, to be fair, who doesn't bring their own snacks in? There's a reason why, if you look at a grocery store that's right next to the movie theater, there's always a huge display of candy, like one of those big, huge barrels full of, like, movie-sized candies, because everyone goes there for the movie candy! You buy it for a dollar instead of five. You know what I mean? So yeah, I sneak in candy to the movie theater. I also wear an oversized coat so I can fit a microwave underneath it. I'm not gonna pay $7 for popcorn when I can make my own. The trick is to sit way towards the back against the wall. There's usually an outlet. You know, the theater workers need to plug in their vacuum at the end to clean up the carpet, right? So you use that, put the microwave on the seat next to you, throw in a bag of Pop Secret and a Hot Pocket, which they don't typically have at movie theaters anyway. You got a goddamn feast! Most people won't even notice the humming of the microwave over the blaring movie previews. It's so loud in there! By the way, I would love for you guys to try that. Any of you have balls? Try to sneak a microwave into the movie theater and load up some microwave popcorn. Let me know how that goes.
At the concession stand, and they don't even, like, eat all of it. They just throw it fucking everywhere, and they just make a huge mess. They put up a huge sink. They take the handicap seats when...
Let me tell you, I make a huge mess with my popcorn. I'm not a terribly messy eater at home. I mean, there might be some crumbs next to me. But, I mean, when I get up from the movie theater, it's like an avalanche of popcorn. And I'm appalled at what a fucking pig I am. Part of it is because Lord Douche, whenever I go to the movies with Lord Douche, he likes to hold the popcorn. And so I'm constantly reaching over and I try to grab a lot. You know, because if I just grab like one little kernel of popcorn, I have to keep doing it over and over and over every fucking 2 seconds. If I grab a bunch, like a fistful of popcorn, I can then eat it out of my hand. But it just makes a mess everywhere. So I apologize to movie workers in Columbus, Ohio for leaving a trail of tears.
Like, when there's someone in, like, a fucking wheelchair, like, doesn't have a spine and they need the handicap seats, but they don't care because it hurts their feet. So I don't know, man. I just think to myself, like, when they complain to me, I just want to go, hey, listen here, you fucking jigaboo. Don't do that.
Yeah, you're racist.
Just kidding. I don't call them jigaboo. It's a clone. But either way, I think that needs to be factored into future Blackulator Caucasiatron results. That
okay.
The sort of baseline reaction for, like, where the Negroes is to just be the most fucking ricoculous possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying that whites can't be, but, like, there's a death.
Dude, you're racist. Just deal with it.
Hey, Tim. This is Josh, your TSA freak in Las Vegas. You know what you should do is move here to Las Vegas. We have a huge gay community, and you would fit in perfect.
I would go. I would have such a problem there. Like, I know I could easily acquire a gambling problem.
Also, we have an IKEA.
Oh.
I heard you just. Heard you saying you love
one of my friends that I worked at the testing center actually lives in Las Vegas, works for I guess one of the resorts or things over there, casinos or something. It would be great to see her, but I'm not gonna move there just for her. Plus, isn't it like really hot over there in Las Vegas? and bright, like a lot of, like a lot of sun, I would fry. I don't think Las Vegas, and it's like a desert. What are you trying to do to me? No, I don't think Las Vegas is the right place for me, but thank you for all the suggestions. It's all the time we have on this edition of the show. I want you guys to email me, show@distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail on for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-660-GOD. Is it now good?
Suck on that D! Suck on that D! It's always better when you get it wetter, slurping that big D!
Spread the distortion, STD. Tell all your friends about the podcast. Don't forget to rate us and review us on iTunes. Tomorrow, I've got a Sideshow exclusive one. So if you're not yet a member of the Sideshow, go to superfreaksideshow.com. Sign up, become a true and honorable freak. Otherwise, I will see you back for the Wednesday podcast. Until then, have a great day. Bye, everybody. This one's for the freaks.